This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. All of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM, 80 in the ESPN app. The highlights courtesy of the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Danny Hurley, head coach of the back-to-back national champion UConn Huskies. They did it again last night, 75-60. They beat Purdue. They win every single game in this NCAA tournament by double digits, a 23.3 point per game margin. Just a dominant back-to-back run. Good morning, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty. I am Evan Cohen. Good morning, guys.
What's more rare? I mean, a total eclipse or having a back-to-back run like we've seen from Dan Hurley and UConn?
Well, I think it's tied, right? Because in the last 21 years, we've seen two of each, right? We saw Florida in 06 and 07, and then last night, obviously, in the eclipse.
Every 20 years, right?
Right. So okay. I think it's equal. I think literally you'll see back-to-back champions. At the same time, you'll see the eclipse.
I'll tell you what. I watched both, and I think UConn's back-to-back run was more impressive than the eclipse. Yeah,
uh-oh.
I said it.
Uh-oh.
It was. The eclipse was cool, but watching UConn be this dominant two seasons in a row and one of the most grueling postseasons in all of sports, to me, that's a little bit more rare than what I saw yesterday from the sun or the moon or whatever it was. It was cool, but it was just kind of underwhelming.
I had a little FOMO yesterday because I didn't get a chance to see the total eclipse.
What?
I didn't.
Everybody did.
Well, first of all, I told you all that I had a little adulting to do yesterday afternoon, but I was bopping around. I didn't have a chance to get any glasses. And yet I'm seeing everybody around New York City line the avenues and the streets to get a glimpse of the total eclipse. And I'm like, should I risk it all and look up with the naked eye? Probably not, so let me not do that. But, I mean, every street was flooded. Central Park was flooded. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there looking around trying to find a vendor that's hustling these special glasses so I can look at the eclipse.
I didn't see it either.
And usually in New York City, you can find people pitching anything on the sidewalk.
Yep.
Except the damn solar eclipse glasses.
I got to out myself on something, too.
I was like,
too, man,
I'm willing to give somebody $10-15 for a pair of throwaway glasses. I just want to take a glimpse at it. Can I get a little peek? Just a little peek. And I couldn't get a peek of the damn total eclipse. I was so upset yesterday afternoon. Man,
I gotta out myself on something.
Oh no!
I don't think I realized. I thought the glasses were to protect you, not to be able to see it.
Well, it's both.
Oh,
I'm glad you didn't look with the naked eye. CC, your retina's been through enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my eyes have been through
enough. It could burn your retina if you look at it directly.
That's what I thought. But my 10-year-old son explained to my wife and I that the only way you could actually really see it in full is with the glasses.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Bright. It's too bright. Yeah, exactly.
I'm so dumb.
Yes.
My 10-year-old is explaining stuff to us that I don't understand. But I did understand watching the game last night. What a terrible, cheesy transition that was. 75-60, UConn beats Purdue. I know it's a semantics thing. To me, this feels like two in a row and not back-to-back. And it's actually more impressive. I'll explain. When Billy Donovan and the University of Florida did it, Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer were there, and Torian Green were there back-to-back years. Same players, right? Duke did it with Leitner and Hurley and Grant Hill. Same players. These are not the same players. They had two guys, Andre Jackson Jr., second-round Bucks, Jordan Hawkins, lottery pick to the Pelicans, that were gone off of this team. This is a brand-new roster, and they did it again. That's why I think Danny Hurley has solidified himself as the best coach in college basketball. And again, I understand it's semantics, but it feels like two in a row more than back-to-back because it's not the same guys.
Yeah, it's actually so impressive when you think about it that we have that on the men's and the women's side, where South Carolina and UConn both had roster turnover, and they were both able to recalibrate and be absolutely dominant again in back-to-back years. I know South Carolina didn't win last year, but that they were able to recalibrate, be dominant, and win the tournament. And I was thinking about that watching that game last night. Is it a little underwhelming that we had two really dominant teams that absolutely ran the table in the tournament? It was a little anticlimactic to me watching that game last night, because once I got eyes on UConn in real time when they absolutely dismantled Illinois, I thought there's no one that's going to beat them. And even though I loved the storyline with Caitlin Clark, when you watch South Carolina, you kind of felt the same thing, that nobody really had a shot against them. And in a tournament that makes its way being unpredictable, was it a little underwhelming that on both sides, the men and the women's, we had two absolutely dominant juggernauts?
Not for me, because it means the best team won. Right, because the NCAA is the most exciting tournament, but it's not always the best way of crowning the best team. It's the hottest team.
Yeah.
This was the best team and the hottest team in both men's and women's all year long. I mean, Purdue, to their credit, guys, was in it early, not for long. And it was one moment to me that was a turning point of this game. UConn was up 36-30 at the half, but a 23-all in the first half of this game. Zach Edey already racked up 14 points. He got Donovan Klingon in foul trouble. He was actually doing really well. They took him out for less than a minute. UConn goes right into Klingon, three-point play. Everything changed after that. Literally, that 1 minute, I think, changed the entire game, and UConn just destroyed them after that.
Yeah, because the two teams were pulling even midway through the first half. Like that was a back-and-forth game, but I thought the telltale for Dan Hurley and how great of a coach he is just the adjustments that he was able to make in running that high screen and roll action, whether it was Cam Spencer or Tristan Newton, and getting Zach Edey involved in that, and then those guards getting downhill and creating two-on-ones where Zach Edey couldn't be right. And I thought being able to attack Edey that way was really, really smart, because you take some juice away from him on the offensive end, but then you find a way to be able to exploit Purdue's defense and create offense for everybody on your team. It was clear that Donovan Klingon wasn't going to have a big night, and that you were going to need Cam Spencer and Tristan Newton to show up for you, and those guys absolutely did that. I mean, the playmaking by Cam Spencer, being able to get into the paint and score, and then the playmaking and decision-making from Tristan Newton. I mean, think about this. UConn last night shot 7 of 12 off of Tristan Newton's passes. Like, the efficiency that they were able to operate with off of that action shows you how good of a coach Dan Hurley is. And again, I understand the numbers for Zach Edey. He had 37-10 last night, but they didn't allow anybody else from Purdue to get going. And I thought that was the difference in that game. I mean, think about it. Only one other starter for Purdue was in double figures, and they only had 2 points off the bench. Whereas UConn, four of the five starters were in double digits. Like, I mean, it was clear what the game plan was after he made those adjustments midway through the first half, and there was no adjustment to the adjustment by Matt Painter, and that's just a sign of a really good coach.
Danny Hurley, we could sit here and have the debate, is he the best coach in the country? I don't know that there's much of a debate. Like, I don't even know who you could argue. Bill Self has been a great coach, no question about that. I don't know how you can argue of active coaches anyone else, and there were a couple of moments last night that even what you just said, dead on. I'll add on to that in terms of Danny Hurley's greatness. I think it's smart when smart coaches recruit smart players. His players are so damn smart also. There was one point in the second half where Purdue just went into a full court press. No heads up on that. There was no timeout. His team knew exactly what to do against a full court press and ran a beautiful play off of the press break that you're sitting there like, how do you do that not off of a timeout? One other one. Late in the game, they're up double digits. After every offensive rebound, they milk the clock. You know how tempting it is for players, especially young ones, on an offensive rebound when you have the ball near the basket to put it back up? They didn't do that one time. Not one time did they waste clock last night. I was blown away impressed with how smart the players were, which obviously is in coordinates and combination with the coach. And Dan Hurley discussed after the game how great this two-year run has been.
I just think it's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much and again to do what we did again, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did because they brought back their entire teams, and we lost we lost some major players.
Not only did they lose major players and they were able to get back here, they were more dominant this year than they were last year. Last year, they beat their opponents by an average of 20 points per game. This year, 23.3. They were more dominant this year after that talent drain than they were last year, which I just think is absolutely remarkable. They're like a tsunami. They just keep coming and you can't do anything to stop them.
And now you got to look at this program in a different light than we ever have. You realize they've won six titles since 1999?
No.
They have more championships than Duke. They are equal to North Carolina. We have 25 years since 99 where we think about the teams that have won six titles in all sports on the men's side over the last 25 years. Think about the comparisons here. The Los Angeles Lakers, CC squad, the Patriots, and Alabama football, and UConn basketball. That's your big four. We never think about UConn that way, and we should. That is as much of a dynasty as you're going to have with three different coaches and Danny Hurley being the best one in college basketball right now. It's remarkable what they've been able to do.
Yeah, we think about UConn's women's basketball team in that
Bingo.
Way, but we don't think about the men's team that way, but we absolutely should.
Yeah.
And they've done it across three different coaches, right? I mean, it's Jim Calhoun, it's Kevin Ollie, and now Dan Hurley, the latest installment. But it doesn't look like this program is showing any signs of slowing down.
No.
Like this thing is a machine, and it's only going to continue to roll, and especially when you just pointed out, Smalls, that it's a different cast of characters from the group that did it a year ago. Why would we think that Dan Hurley wouldn't be capable of reinventing this team in order to allow them to compete for a championship level next year?
I'm not going to doubt him.
Yeah, you're not going to doubt it. So, I mean, that's the thing. And you hear the mentality of the players. When we had Donovan Klingon on last week, he talked about how it's not about NIL. It's not about any individual accolades. It's about buying into a team-first agenda that allows them to win championships. If you have that ingrained in your best players, then that has the makings of a culture that allows you to have sustained success. And that's what Dan Hurley has been able to do. I mean, again, when you listen to him talk and you see how he goes about his business, he's got a Jim Harbaugh-like feel around him.
Uh-huh.
And so this program is in really, really good shape, and we have to start viewing them as the preeminent program in all of college men's college basketball. I'm not going to say college basketball because Dawn Staley on the women's side has established that with South Carolina, but in men's college basketball, this is the preeminent program.
I don't think it's debatable anymore.
No, the conversation starts with UConn.
You can't say Duke. You can't say North Carolina.
No.
Can't say Michigan State and Izzo anymore.
You cannot say Kentucky.
No,
obviously, and we'll have that conversation coming up. But
it's not UCLA. It's not. It's just
no.
It's
they're
not.
Alabama football. They're the Patriots. They're the Lakers. That's what somehow out of nowhere in Storrs, Connecticut, they've become.
I guess the history, the deep history and tradition, I mean, when you go back beyond, you know, the 90s, when you start getting into the 80s, the 70s, the 60s,
different story.
They don't have the same history, UConn that is, in comparison to North Carolina, Duke, UCLA. They just don't. But I don't know that that matters when we start talking about who the blue blood programs in men's college basketball are now.
So I'll ask you the comparative question in your sport to decide if it matters. Do you care that the Patriots' history started really with Parcells and Belichick versus the Steelers' history, which has been 40, 50 years? Does that matter to you in terms of number of titles?
No.
So then it doesn't matter here, right? It's the same exact principle. Okay, so you've won six in the last 25
years. I would actually argue that it's harder to have sustained success in this era with NIL and transfer portal than it was back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when guys stayed 3 or 4 years.
Because you're recruiting your own guys.
You're recruiting your own guys. But I mean, beyond that, just being able to maintain the culture that allows you to win at that level. Like you have upperclassmen back in the day that could pass down the tradition to incoming freshmen. You don't have that now.
No, I mean, some of their players, Cam Spencer was phenomenal for them last night.
Transferred from Rutgers.
Transferred somewhere else before that.
Well, you got a little older before that. Yeah.
It's crazy. And Samson Johnson, I love this guy. I don't know why I love this guy so much, but off the bench, just a great rim runner, makes smart winning plays. He just brings in smart winning players. And you always say about Parcells, he looks for guys that look like the other guys he used to have.
Yep.
That's what it feels like Danny Hurley's going to continue to do. I need a guy that looks like Klingon. It looks like Samson Johnson. It looks like Jordan Hawk. Whatever it is, he's just going to bring in smart, winning, hard-nosed, tough players. And now they have a dynastic run over the last 25 years. Which one is the most impressive? Alabama, UConn, New England Patriots, Lakers? Which one? And is Danny Hurley the best coach in college basketball? I think we all agree right now that he is. But could last night have been his last game at UConn? We will discuss that coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Poll question is up at Unsports ESPN. Best six title run of the last 25 years, Alabama football, UConn basketball, Patriots, and the Lakers. Your Lakers are not doing well here in this.
Yeah, I didn't think they would.
But they should, actually. They have three different runs within that 25 years.
Yeah, that sounds good. I get it. You had the Shaq and Kobe years, then you had Kobe and Gasol and Bynum, then you had the most recent one with Bron and AD. But it just, I don't know. The expectation is that the Lakers are going to do that, and it didn't really, I guess the early 2000s felt dynastic, but it hasn't since. If that makes sense.
I get it, but I mean, it's still six titles in 25 years. Still damn impressive.
Awesome. It's awesome, but I don't think it's as impressive as what New England Patriots have done. And I'm not pandering to you. I just think
I know that. Trust me.
I think it's incredible to be able to have that kind of success in the salary cap era.
Yeah.
And especially in a sport where you have to, you know, you have to focus on roster construction. You got 53 players on the team. Like, to be able to organize it in a way where you can have that kind of sustained success to get to, what, 9 Super Bowls and to win 6 of them is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing, that one. But I also think that what UConn has done, you can't overlook as well, because we're talking about the changing landscape of things. The fact that Dan Hurley has been able to go back-to-back to add to what UConn has already built in this era of collegiate athletics, with NIL, with transfer, with everything that he has to deal with, I still can't get over the fact that not only is he able to win one, but be more dominant the next year after you are able, or after, excuse me, you have to completely reload your entire team. It is hard enough to win once in this tournament, let alone back-to-back, let alone be more dominant the second year.
No doubt. No doubt. And he just did it again, and it was remarkable last night what he did. And of course, after the game, he had to be asked about something, and he was, after winning a championship, because there's a job opening. Kentucky has a job opening, as their head coach took a personal attack on Chris Canty yesterday by walking a dog in a stroller, and John Calipari walking the streets of Kentucky, obviously wanting the cameras to be on him. He's going to Arkansas. That's likely going to be finalized today. Dan Hurley's the best coach in the country. Kentucky's one of the best programs in the country. And Hurley was asked about it post-title yesterday.
You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that.
So I'll take him at his word. Kentucky then has a no from Dan Hurley, at least publicly. They got a no on the TNT, TBS, CBS broadcast last night from Jay Wright, former Villanova coach, who was the best coach in the country, and then obviously gave way to Danny Hurley. And Nate Oates, the Alabama head coach, put out a statement saying he's out. It feels very similar to what happened post Saban leaving Alabama, where all these other guys are saying, like, oh, I'm going to wait for my raise and then put out the statement after the fact. CeCe, you're smiling because you've been all in on Kentucky ain't what they think they are.
Yeah, but I don't think their athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, goes down this road without having somebody that he knows will take the job. And there's an obvious relationship that he has with Scott Drew, the head coach at Baylor. So that could be the leader in the clubhouse in terms of who the next head coach is for Kentucky's men's basketball. But I do think that there's something to what I said yesterday about the shine being off the program, because you're getting these no's from these high-profile coaches in the sport pretty early in the process, right? I mean, Nate Oates coming out and saying, no, I'm all set here at Alabama. Dan Hurley, after winning a national championship, said, I don't think it's a concern me leaving UConn for Kentucky. For them to come out and dismiss the notion that they would be the men's basketball coach at Kentucky – it speaks to the state of the program, and it's not where Big Blue Nation and a lot of people that are fans of Kentucky athletics expected it to be.
Yeah, because Kentucky fans expect Dan Hurley to get off the podium and be desperate to take the Kentucky job. And why would he want that? Usually when you take a job like that, it's because you think it's going to be a step up from what you currently have, whether it's you have access to better talent or better resources, etc. Why would Dan Hurley think that anything about this Kentucky job is better than what he already has built at UConn? Same thing kind of with Nate Oates at Alabama. He's had more success recently than Kentucky has. Yes, John Calipari's been able to attract a lot of talent there, and they certainly have the history. But why would you abandon everything that you've built when you're in a more successful place? I just don't know if the job, it's an attractive job. It's still a very big job, don't get me wrong. But with everything that comes with it, all the politics that you're going to have to deal with, the pressure, the expectations to have success immediately there, it might not be for everybody. And that's saying something, because normally you think a job like this comes open and everybody's clamoring for it.
On the surface, though, the Alabama basketball coach said no to Kentucky. Think about if the Kentucky football coach said no to Alabama football.
Hell no.
Mark Stoops.
That would never happen.
But that's what we would have said about the Alabama basketball coach. It's crazy to think that that's where we at. Like, Danny Hurley would be insane to leave UConn at this point for another college job.
Nuts.
NBA job? Okay, we can have the conversation. Is Danny Hurley perfect for the NBA? Probably not.
No.
So why would you even consider, and his laughing at the notion is probably the proper reaction. There, what job would Danny Hurley leave UConn when he just won back-to-back titles against a dominant Zach Edey with the second most points in the history of the NCAA tournament behind Glenn Rice in 89 when Michigan won the championship? That's a hard team to beat, and he made them look terrible last night with different players than he had the year before. Why would you leave that exactly?
Yeah, but there are some job openings that you should never scoff at, laugh at. And we all thought that Kentucky men's basketball was one of them, and it's not.
You're right.
Like, it's not there. Like, it's not what Alabama football is. It's not what LSU football is. It's not what being the skipper of the Yankees was once upon a time. It's not what being the head coach of the Lakers was once upon a time. It's just not. It's not there anymore. And I wonder if the unrealistic expectations have led to it being these types of circumstances, if you're having too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to the athletic director, when it comes to boosters, when it comes to the school president, if all of those figures being overly involved and overstepping their respective roles when it comes to the autonomy that the men's basketball coach is supposed to have, I wonder if all of those different influences have turned a lot of people off in the sport. Like, it's starting to feel that way. And when you think about the circumstances in which John Calipari left, it felt like he was being jettisoned. It felt like they wanted to push him out of the door, but they realized they couldn't fire him because of a $33 million buyout. So we're going to do the next best thing, which is cut off the faucet when it comes to the NIL money, cut off the faucet when it comes to your resources, and force you to leave because you realize you have no chance at being successful if you stay. Why would you want to be the next coach in line to take over under those circumstances? That's the million-dollar question, or I guess $10 million question that we would have to ask the coach that ends up being hired. For my money, I think it ends up being Scott Drew. But again, it is very dicey when you consider how high the bar is to clear in terms of what Big Blue Nation is going to expect from their new head coach and how they're going to want microwave success.
And if that's how Cal was treated, a guy who won a title there, imagine how you'll be treated if you don't have immediate success. But when you say the shine has come off Kentucky basketball a little bit, it made me think, if I'm Dan Hurley at UConn, is there any job, a historically great job in college basketball that I would even consider leaving for? The Dukes, the North Carolinas, a UCLA, Kentucky, Kansas, maybe Michigan State. I don't think that In today's game that there are any of those jobs that are historically I can't turn them down jobs that would make a coach like Dan Hurley want to leave the situation that he's in.
Well, guess what? He's made himself into the coach of the best program in America. So
that's
anything would be a step down, right? He's talked like Nick Saban didn't leave for another job. It's Danny Hurley has helped create with Calhoun and Cavanaugh previously the single best men's college basketball program in America. Six titles, 25 years. They're Alabama football. They're the Patriots. They're the Lakers. You don't leave that voluntarily for another college job.
His dad stayed at St. Anthony's for 40 years.
Won 26 state titles.
Think about it. His dad stayed in one place for 40 years.
Yeah. Could have gone to the college ranks at any time.
Could have done whatever he wanted. Yeah.
Probably could go right now.
Exactly.
No, seriously. He was that good.
His dad was there
right.
For 40 years. So, I mean, if you bake that in, it's like, okay, he's following the example of his father. He can set up shop there, and he'll be a legend in Storrs, Connecticut for the next
40 years.
The next 3 decades.
Yeah,
no doubt.
100% right. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. We're going to get your phone calls in on Danny Hurley, best coach in college basketball. Where does UConn rank in terms of the dynasty over the last 25 years? Six titles, because they are getting it done, CeCe, just like Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Ah, yes, it's Tuesday, so you know what that means on Unsportsmanlike. We like to rank stuff. So we got another version of my power rankings. And this week's rankings are the most dangerous teams in the NBA playoffs. That's teams that are not top four seeds in either conference, okay? All right, but before we get to that, she is Michelle Smallman. He is Evan Cohen. I am Chris Canty, and this is Unsportsmanlike's power rankings. NBA playoff edition, most dangerous teams outside of the top four seeds in each respective conference.
CeCe, I'm going to just do one thing.
What's up?
I'm writing down. I'll tell you after my predictions of who you're going to say. I don't know what your list is. I want to see if I can predict this correct.
I like it.
And I predicted Myron Metcalf winning our bracket tournament. I just want to throw that out there. So I'm going to run here.
Oh, so what do you think? You're Miss Cleo and the psychic friends?
I maybe.
Love Miss Cleo.
Let's see.
Future?
Let's see.
Call me now. We do want you to call us now. 888-SAY-ESPN. All right, Javonte, without further ado.
Number 5.
The New Orleans Pelicans. Oh, now, listen, they've lost 4 of their last 5 games, but there's a reason for that. No Brandon Ingram, right? He suffered the knee injury on March 21st down in Orlando, but he's been cleared for on-court activities. There is no timeline for his return, but he is starting to ramp up, so I guess this is going to be a situation if they can actually get into a real playoff series that he would be back. This is pure speculation. This is not anything confirmed. But when it's on the line, you got to imagine that this guy is going to be out there. He's an all-star caliber player. He's one of the best wing scorers that we have in the game today. I mean, he's a singular talent. Brandon Ingram is an absolute stud. So if they can get Brandon Ingram back by the time the playoffs roll around and they're in a 7-game series, couple him with Zion Williamson, what we've seen, and then C.J. McCollum, you got to think that this New Orleans Pelicans team is a dangerous, dangerous team. Next.
Number 4.
The Miami Heat. I mean, how can you count out Spo? How can you count out Jimmy Buckets? How can you count out Bam Adebayo? You just can't. They seemingly make a run to the conference finals every single year. What is it? 3 of the last 4 years they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, the Miami Heat, regardless of where they're slotted at, whatever seed they're at, they are a dangerous team. Right now they're 8th, so they would be involved in the play-in. It would only have to be a win one game and in scenario. So they've got 2 chances to win one game. I'll put my money on Coach Spo and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo that they could figure that out. Even if they've got to play against the Sixers in that first game of the play-in, they'll probably lose that, but they'll find a way to win that second game to punch their ticket to the postseason. So the Miami Heat probably going to play the Boston Celtics earlier than we all expected, but they'll find their way into the playoffs. And against the Boston Celtics, I don't know. It feels like that's one of those series that would be a long series, 6 or 7 games, and I would not discount what the Miami Heat would be capable of, even as good as Boston is. Next.
Number 3.
The Los Angeles Lakers. It's LeBron. It's AD. What's understood ain't got to be said. Keep it moving. Javonte?
Number two.
The Dallas Mavs. Now, here's the thing. Tim Legler, about a month ago, said, watch out for the Dallas Mavs. He said that Luka Doncic, if he had two or three more weeks added to the regular season, would win MVP. He's just not going to win it because his team, from a win total standpoint, won't be there. But the way that him and Kyrie are playing together, this is as potent a 1-2 punch as we have in the NBA on the offensive end. I mean, you're talking about Kyrie being one of the most skilled players we've ever seen in the NBA, and him potentially being usurped by his teammate Luka. Like, it is absolutely incredible what those two guys can do. I mean, the other day they scored 48 and 37 respectively in the same game. I mean, it's I think they played
against a team that prides themselves in theory on defense with the Rockets.
Yeah,
in theory.
In theory.
Yeah,
and they put up 150 points against.
Yeah,
them. So there goes that. But I will say this: I think they've scored. They've had 25 games where you're talking about those guys going off for 30 or more together. It is absolutely insane what they've been capable of doing this season. And I feel like they're just hitting their stride at the right time. We keep talking about teams that get hot winning championships. I think this Dallas Mavs team can put scare into these other Western Conference contenders. And that's why they're one of my most dangerous teams in the playoff field this year. But there can only be one most dangerous team.
Number one.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, at this point, like, everybody is looking at the Sixers and saying they're on a collision course with the Boston Celtics, and people aren't necessarily sure who they're picking in that matchup. That's how good this team is when Joel Embiid is on the court. And the thing that I think benefits Philly is Tyrese Maxey having an extended period of season where Embiid wasn't there and he had to be the guy. You've really seen him grow up, his game evolve over the course of this season. And so his playmaking ability, his shot-making ability, I mean, we saw it on full display against the San Antonio Spurs on Sunday night. The guy dropped 50 points. I mean, he's not shying away from the moment. And when you have not one but two guys that can embrace the moment, embrace the challenge, and step up when the game is on the line, that only benefits you. And I think the thing that makes Philly even more dangerous than they have been in years past with Embiid is having a real head coach in Nick Nurse. Not to disparage Doc Rivers, but it feels like he's still living off of that championship that he won in 2008 with the Boston Celtics. Nick Nurse is one of the best tacticians from an X's and O's standpoint in the NBA today. And being able to have him, knowing the right buttons to push, knowing the matchups to take advantage of, is going to be absolutely critical to the Sixers going on a deep playoff run. And I absolutely expect this team to be in the conference finals. So there's the list. The most dangerous NBA playoff teams that are not in the top four of each respective conference. We've got the Philadelphia 76ers checking in at one. Dallas Mavs, two. We've got the Los Angeles Lakers, three. The Miami Heat, four. New Orleans Pelicans, five. Smalls, you are my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
Just one team I want to throw out there for debate consumption. What about Phoenix? Where are you at with the Suns?
I'm out on the Suns. I can't trust the Suns. They're one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the NBA. How can you not be good in the fourth quarter and expect me to trust you when it comes to the playoffs?
7-3 in their last 10 games, 46-32 overall. They have, in most series, they should have the first and second best players.
Mm-hmm.
Should. That doesn't mean they will with Durant and Booker, but that would be a fascinating first round matchup as it sits here today, Oklahoma City and Phoenix. There are so many good first round matchups. Phoenix was left off. I knew Golden State was not going to be on the list because I know you've written them off. I got four of five right. The only one I did not get right was New Orleans. I did not see New Orleans coming. I put Indiana down there just because of how much they can score. The problem is they allow people to score
a lot
as well.
Of points.
But at four of the five, I think that's where it's juicy. If you're going less or worse than the four seed, could Philly go to the finals? Yes. I'm a Heat fan. I would not pick them to go to the finals. Could they upset teams? Absolutely. Legs will tell you Dallas is winning seven championships, basically. And the Lakers have looked very good recently. I would not write them off. So it's a very interesting year. Four teams you could legit, as you just mentioned, CC, make a run in the NBA's playoffs that are worse than the four seed in their respective conference. All right, coming up, we're going to get your phone calls in. National Championship UConn last night. Calipari to Arkansas. So much to get to at 888-SAY-ESPN. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Congrats to UConn. Second straight title. 75-60. They beat Purdue, a 37-3 record this year, and they won every single tournament game by double digits, a 23.3 point per game margin in the NCAA tournament.
It's insane.
They dismantled everybody.
Last night was a bad game for them. They only won by 15 in the national championship. Based on stats, I'm not trying to be Hembo here with Greeny, 10 a.m. Eastern, but based on stats, last night was a bad game for them. Held Purdue to the lowest point total of the season.
The fact that Purdue was even in it for a minute was a bad game for UConn because they've just smoked everybody.
No doubt.
Yeah, don't they have the largest margin of victory in tournament history?
Ever. Yeah, ever.
Yeah. Plus 140. Crazy.
Dennis in Delaware watching on ESPN2. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, good morning. Congratulations to UConn. Oh. You know, my point was I don't think he should consider the Kentucky job. I think the job for him eventually will be the Celtics. Now, keep in mind, Danny Hurley's 51 years old. Joe Mazzullo's 35. And if Mazzullo doesn't get it done this year with this Celtics team and their talent, I mean, they haven't won it since 2008. I mean, Hurley would be a good fit there. I know Chris didn't think so in the NBA, but, you know, Hurley, he brings that Jersey City toughness defense, and I think the fans would love him in Boston. And his offensive style is more European. A lot of motion, a lot of screens, a lot of unselfishness. Billy Donovan went to OKC and Patino went to the Knicks. I think at 51 years old, Danny Hurley, this could be a good path for him. I would just wait it out and see how the Celtics do. I mean, if the Celtics win at all, I would just stay at UConn. But I think the Celtics would be a real good spot for Danny Hurley eventually. I mean, I think he'll be like the Matt Damon.
Dennis, short of the Boston Celtics getting bounced before the conference finals, I don't think that job is opening up. I mean, they're 62-16. I mean, they're 8 wins better than the next best record in the NBA, which happens to be the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. I don't think Joe Mazzulla is on the hot seat right now based on what they've been able to do. Now, if they get bounced early, if they lose in the first round, if they lose in the conference semis, then that becomes a more interesting conversation. But I'm not sure that Danny Hurley fits the profile in terms of what a current NBA team is looking for. He's a fine head coach, but I don't know that shtick that he has at UConn plays well. I don't know that the personality plays well when it comes to relating to current NBA athletes.
And I also don't know if he would want to leave what he's built at UConn. While the NBA might be enticing or something he might consider just because it's that next step, it's a challenge, you just won back-to-back. You are in the middle of building a dynasty there. Yeah. Why would you leave? You're absolutely dominant right now in college basketball.
Plus, it doesn't necessarily feel like it's a great track record when it comes to college basketball coaches that, you know, get into the NBA and winning big. I mean, I guess Brad Stevens would be one of the most successful in recent memory.
Mm-hmm. Because they get bad jobs. That wouldn't be a bad job. That's a team that you would look at and say, in the hypothetical, it's because they didn't get to the finals or win at all that the job becomes open.
Yeah.
I'm going to be disrespectful. It's not the Hornets.
Yeah, it's not the Hornets, but I mean, even Billy Donovan. I mean, it just
no, that was a good job. He got Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I know, but I mean,
oh, and you're saying he wasn't.
He didn't win it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Brad Stevens didn't win it. Yeah. I'm just saying they did a good job, but they didn't win it. So I don't know that NBA teams are going to be clamoring to get Danny Hurley, thinking that he's the secret sauce to their team winning a championship, especially when the Celtics were in the conference finals last year, and then you're talking about a team that was. That has the best record in the NBA currently at 62-16. Think about the number of losses are going to be in the teens for the Boston Celtics in the regular season. That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So to sit here and speculate about Joe Mazzulla's job feels like it's a little bit unfair.
I've been dismissive of any Danny Hurley hypothetical that doesn't include UConn. That previous call got me to sit back and listen for a little bit, I will say. Like him coaching the Celtics, that's the kind of job historically – I think about his dad. CeCe brought up his dad. Like, his dad has to have admiration for old school Celtics, you would think.
Sure.
So I wonder if that plays in that household. I don't know.
But here's the thing. Does his style play when it comes to current NBA players?
Probably not, but does a team like that need someone that's going to be a butt kicker? That, hey, we fell short so many times. Now, Ime Udoka was that.
Yes.
And they got to the finals.
Ime Udoka was a former player.
That's true.
He was a former NBA player. That's not Dan Hurley.
And a longtime NBA assistant. So he was around the league forever, obviously.
It's a little different.
Josh in Huntsville on 97.7. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Small, CC, Evan. Love y'all. Love the show as always.
Thank you.
Congrats to UConn. I think Dan O'Hurley and Don Staley would be crazy to go anywhere because I believe the ratings are way better now than they have been in previous years for college basketball, men's and women's. My question for this morning, though, do you think Calipari going to Arkansas is a cash grab for Calipari, or do you believe he can actually transform them into a powerhouse SEC college basketball program?
I mean, I would look at it and say it's certainly not a cash grab for him, considering he's making less. He can grab more cash to use for the program than he did at Kentucky, because now he's dealing with Tyson Chicken, Jerry Jones, and Walmart. The big three.
I don't think it's a cash grab for
Calipari.
No. This is all about being able to have the resources to win at the highest levels of the sport, and he was no longer going to continue to get that at Kentucky. They had made that clear and obvious. They pushed him out of the door without having to pay the $33 million buyout.
And think about, just in the compare and contrast, Danny Hurley has won more the last 2 years than John Calipari ever has in his entire life. And we put John Calipari on this pedestal for this dominant college coach. Won one title. One. Danny Hurley's won twice in the last 2 years.
But
think about that. And think about the players that we saw last night 5 years from now. I don't know that they're all going to be in the NBA.
Well, that's why we elevate Coach Cal in that way, because the players that he brings in, we see at the next level. So
that's
we
right.
always connect this NBA talent that we see consistently year after year with Coach Cal. But the fact that you just said that Dan Hurley last night has won more than Cal has in his entire career, that's crazy. But you're right.
No, you know what, though? It's interesting. How do you define winning? Like, I mean, I guess when it comes to the overall success of the program, we say that winning a national championship is that success, but I mean, think about it. We also say in that same breath that there is a huge difference between college basketball and the NBA. And so Coach Cal is getting his guys ready to play in the NBA. That is the clear goal for those guys. It's him that's trying to do everything within his power to prepare them for that. And that might not necessarily lend itself to being able to have success at the highest level in collegiate sports. So I guess there is that juxtaposition of, hey, I'm going to recruit players. I've got a player's coach reputation. I'm going to prepare you for the NBA, but that might not necessarily lead to the program having the type of success that the athletic director and that the fan base is looking for at the collegiate ranks. It's very interesting that we say that Coach Cal is an underachiever or that he hasn't had a whole lot of success at the collegiate level when you look at the track record of the NBA players that he's produced.
True, but I think if that was the measure of success, Kentucky and Coach Cal wouldn't have been in a position where he could leave or that they would even want him to leave. Because it's all about banners. It's all about hardware. I think that for a while, that was something Kentucky could hang their hat on. But as the years pass and Cal's getting that NBA talent and it's not resulting in what we saw UConn be able to do, I think that that kind of wore thin with fans and with the university.
I guess my question is, how important is it to Coach Cal? Because everybody is saying it should be important to him. How important is it to him to win a national championship versus prepare these kids for the next level, which is what he's selling them on when he's sitting in the living room with their families and talking about their basketball future? I don't know the answer to that. But if he continues to get recruits and those guys continue to shine in the NBA, like we've seen from Tyrese Maxey, like we've seen from Devin Booker, like we've seen from Anthony Davis, like we've seen from Jamal Murray, if they continue to do that, then he's going to continue to get the players. What I'm saying is I don't know how important that is to Cal winning a national championship in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's a legitimate question to ask. And maybe, just maybe, what his vision for his basketball program is didn't align with what Kentucky's is, and Arkansas would be content if he was able to have that similar style of success, what we've seen from him in the last 6 or 7 years, if it means being able to have that type of association with players in the NBA. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why the question has been out there, and I'm looking for the poll question we put up from weeks ago. I'm trying to find this here. What is his job? Oh, here we go. March 21st. John Calipari's job: help produce NBA players or win college titles? Because Kentucky wants him to win college titles.
Yes.
He may look at it as, I have created a system and a program where young adults come to me and then make millions elsewhere in the NBA and take care of their families. And they're young adults, and I'm not a Calipari guy, but this has to be said. Young adults that you look at and say, that's the kind of person I want babysitting my kids.
Yes.
Tyrese Maxey, come on over.
A lot of the Cal guys are like that.
Bam Adebayo, come on over. Jamal Murray, come on over. Like, these are good young men that he finds. He doesn't find troublemakers. He finds good young men to develop into NBA players. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.